then he'll be taking the Bible study this evening. So that's why I'm reintroducing another lady today in our character studies on our ladies. And so I'll take this morning's Bible study. Brother Preston will preach tonight. They'll have you preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night. We will be, me, Denise, and Bailey will be in Cornwall this weekend. Not on holiday. We'll be down there preaching with Brother Gosmeyer on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Then we'll head back on Monday morning. So be in prayer for us, if you will. Do be in prayer for the Cronins again. They'll have youth club this Friday night, and then they are off on a 3.5 week little trip back to the States for Thanksgiving and early Christmas and all that stuff. And we will be having Thanksgiving here. So, amen. We're looking forward to that. What?
Thanks for
having me. Just make sure you know, man. So. I actually have a governing body meeting that morning. I think it's that morning. I hope it is. I needed to tell you about that because we locked that down just the other day at the Remembrance Day service. I had a great Remembrance service at Blangrau on Monday, and it was really good. The kids did a tremendous job. They were reciting the names from the soldiers that had died in the Great War from Aberdare, the ones from Aberdare. And this year they said it with confidence. Boy, they had a microphone on them, and as they, each child, they got louder and louder and louder. And, you know, Private Reese Williams, you know, and it just echoed through there. Did a tremendous job. Very proud of them. And we did have a very good service, so we're excited about that. Let's open our Bibles up to Acts chapter 16 this morning. Acts chapter 16. We're going to get into, this is my, man, I just lost count. It's my third or second.
Third.
Yeah, so this is my third character study on the ladies here. And I'm going to introduce to you the lady by the name of Lydia today. And I was trying to thank Brother Preston. I knew you were going to do one. I knew you wasn't. You're not doing one on Lydia, right? Okay. I was doing my best the other day thinking, make sure I didn't encroach on what you had told me already. But it's been busy. I know how it's been lately. Let's read two verses real quick and have a word of prayer. Then we're going to go into a few things about Lydia this morning. I do enjoy her character study. It's a blessing. But Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look in verses 12 and 13 just to open up this morning. Acts chapter 16, and look at in verse 12. The Bible says, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together today. And we pray that you'd bless the lesson to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, there are many people in need this morning, Father. We want to lift them up to you in prayer. Lord, many struggles, many pains, many sufferings that are going on at the present moment, Father, in our community, in our country, Father. Lord, we ask you to please help us be a blessing unto them. Lord, we ask you today to please move opportunities into our lives to touch them. Father, we pray that it would be the Holy Spirit of God that would give ultimate comfort for those that know you not as Lord and Savior, that they would come under conviction, Father, and receive Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, Father. Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the time that we have this morning together, one with another. And we just pray that you'd bless it to thy holy name. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So we're looking here in Acts chapter 16, and we find that the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Luke have now come to preach the Word of God in Philippi. Again, you know, I've preached on this chapter here quite a few times. They did not find what they expected upon arriving to the city, but that's another story. We don't need to go into that again today. But rather, down by a riverside that day, there was a group of ladies who were known to meet and pray on the Sabbath day. One of those ladies is a woman by the name of Lydia. She is known as a woman of Thyatira and a seller of purple. Look there, if you will, in the very next verse, verse 14 in Acts 16. It says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Now, Thyatira is a city that is located in the Lycus Valley of Western Asia Minor. It was refounded as a Greek city under the Seleucids in the 3rd century B.C. It was Seleucus, the one that I was trying to think of the other day, followed a goat around, and everywhere he defecated, they planted a city. And, well, that, here you go. There's the history for this particular city now, and every other city that was founded by the Greeks in the 3rd century B.C. It became an important manufacturing city. It was something that was that produced great dyes. There was great dyes to make clothing. This is one of the reasons you find Lydia being a seller of purple. Now, purple was a color that the royalty wore. So Lydia was a woman that had pretty decent wealth, guys. She probably had some pretty good money. But it was a manufacturing city she was from. Thyatira never became a metropolis, if you will. It was not even on one of the main thoroughfares, the main routes for commerce, but it was on a side road, if you will, a bypass, we would call it today, but it was close to Ephesus, and it was on the way to Ephesus, and Pergamos, you have, which is one of this, two other of the seven churches. Thyatira is one of the seven churches of Asia that we read about, or Asia Minor that we read about in the book of Revelation. The name itself, in basic English terms, means the castle of Thyatira. But in biblical terms, especially in prophecy, if you will, or in the book of Revelation, it means the odor of affliction. As far as church age goes, the Thyatirian church age existed from 606 A.D. to 1520 A.D. It's quite of a long time, but it goes up into the Reformation period that we find that church age coming to a close. The Thyatirian church age underwent more persecution under papal Rome. You know, papal Rome was established in 327 AD under the leadership of Constantine, which was during the church age of Pergamos. But it underwent more persecution under papal Rome than the churches prior to that. Even the Sardius church prior to that suffered under pagan Rome. And so the city is only mentioned four times in Scripture. It's mentioned here in Acts 16, and then it's mentioned in Revelation where it speaks of the church or that particular church age. However, it is one of the seven churches of Asia Minor. And Paul, we know, used Ephesus. This is in Acts 19. He used Ephesus as a training ground for preachers and for church planting, for like a church planting hub, if you will. And so we really can probably conclude that at least one of the preacher boys, or Paul himself, had planted this church. We don't have a record of who planted that church, okay, in Thyatira. We don't know. But we do know that Paul was in Ephesus for quite a long time, 3.5 years in all total. 2 years, we know that he was there in the school of Tyrannus, preaching and teaching and training guys and sending them out. And so we know that Paul may have preached in Thyatira at least once, but we know at the very least his preaching was heard either through one of the preacher boys that he trained or from Paul himself. How do we know that? Acts chapter 19, verses 9 and 10 says, "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that," now listen to these next words, "so that all they which dwelled in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek." Now guys, when he says all that dwelt in Asia, that means everyone. Thyatira was not too far from Ephesus and Pergamos, okay, where these churches, we know Paul planted the church there in Ephesus, but, you know, the result of his preaching and his teaching and his church planting methodology that he established in Ephesus is what gave birth to these churches throughout Asia Minor. So it may be a little bit of conjecture, but seeing that Paul turned his head in Acts chapter 16 from Asia Minor to Europe, all right, to Europe, and only to come and find that this first convert in Philippi happens to be a woman of Thyatira, I don't think is a coincidence. I mean, we could hypothesize that we know that she still had family back in Thyatira. She had family back there. Paul comes in Acts 16 and he preaches there. He establishes this church in Philippi. The first convert was a woman of Thyatira, and quite maybe possibly she had family visit, or maybe she sent letters back professing the things that had happened there and were continuing to happen in her house that we'll get in here into just a little bit. And all of a sudden, that's what gave birth, maybe, to the reception of the Holy Spirit, reception of the preaching of the gospel in Thyatira. You say, why is that? Why do we believe that? Guys, Thyatira, the city itself, was closely connected to the Asiatic religions. of the place and of the year. Pagan feast and moral practices were all associated there. Games were given in honor to these pagan gods. As a matter of fact, they date back to Semiramis and Polybio, all of these different pagan gods that they were worshiping there. And therefore, the nature would have been to oppose Christianity. But when you have an end, you have somebody who is professing the great things that the gospel has done for them, and it gets into that family, and it gets there's an open door, an open window that God may have used through this dear lady. So, you know, even though they may have been opposed to Christianity, however, the Lord provided a way for them to receive it. Amen? So we find three chapters later, Paul's preaching in Ephesus, not too far from Thyatira, Lydia's homeland. And somehow, some way, the gospel gets in there and a church is established. So, first thing I wanted to look at this morning, and this may only be the only point that we look at this morning. I'll keep a close eye on our time. I want to see the character of Lydia. Lydia was a woman of noble character. She was a lady who worshipped. Okay, she worshipped God. Look in verse 14 again. Verse 14 says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira," watch this, "which worshipped God, heard us." Now you may be sitting here this morning and saying, you know what? How is she worshiping God and she's not yet saved and born again? You got to keep in mind, not only are we still in a bit of a transitional period here up into about Acts 19, but not only are we still in a bit of a transitional period here for the first church, this is the early church, guys. Okay? As a matter of fact, Acts 16 is just on the backside of the 15th chapter where the council was held, to where James finally said, "Hey, we agree that the Gentiles are saved like we are." Man, that's 20-something years later after Christ had died, you know. And now they're just saying, "Well, we'll agree that the Gentiles are saved like we are." So you got to understand, guys, that here's someone who's worshiping God to the best of her ability. And it doesn't say a God, but the God. She's worshiping God to the best of her ability. So her character was to worship the Lord. If someone was looking for Lydia on the Sabbath day, they knew where she would be. She closed up shop. She worked not on that day. She went outside of the city walls and she worshiped the Lord and she prayed. She was a noble character. She was a blessed housewife and businesswoman, a seller of purple. So her occupation, what was it? She was a seller of purple. She was concerned about her earthly welfare. She was concerned about her earthly possessions. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with that. Amen? There's not one thing wrong with that. We have a tendency in our circles today to think that you know, the poorer you are or the less fortunate you are, the more spiritual you are, and that ain't true at all. That ain't true at all. You know, guys, you should be concerned with earthly things and your well being and your health. You should be. I'm not saying that you should strive to be wealthy and famous. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you should be ambitious to be, you know, number one of everything. But I think you ought to do the best that you can do in the circle and place that God has put you. Amen. And you should be. You should strive. I don't think anybody should settle for being mediocre in this life. And if that's what you've chosen, that's what you've chosen. But you've chosen it by your own volition. God hasn't told you to do that. So she was a seller of purple, guys. She was concerned about her welfare and her possessions and her home and whatnot. She was a seeker of God. She was a seeker of God. She was not too busy to stop and pray. Again, she closed up shop, guys. This is another day's wages. This is another day that she could have made a lot of money, but it was a Sabbath day, and she chose the better part. She closed up shop, and she went down by the riverside, and she worshiped. Guys, if you go against the Lord, if you go against the Lord in worshiping, you go against the Lord in serving, you know, guys, there's a good chance that He'll curse everything that you have. I mean, from family, finance, food, and even your future, if you're going against Him and trying to swim upstream. You ever notice that there's certain people that you may know in your life that they just tend to struggle in that area no matter what? I mean, they just struggle, or at least they're up one moment and they're down another moment, guys. And it's quite possible that they're just swimming against God. They're going against His will, trying to do their own thing in their life. And God's saying, "Look, I need you to stop doing this and get in line with Me." James says in James 1:22, he says, "But be ye doers of the word, or not hearers only, or deceiving your own selves." He says again in James 4, verse 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And sin is what? Sin is the transgression of the law of God. You know, in our life, we need to understand that it's not just sin. Okay, we had this conversation in Bible study yesterday. It was great Bible study yesterday morning for Sarah and South. And one of the topics we were speaking of there was about what sin is and how it's looked upon in the eyes of God. Is it just sin? And we have a tendency, guys, to say, okay, well, this, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, all this, they're all just sins. But see, God reveals differently. And through His Word, through His law, through His commandment, according to Romans 7, the commandment reveals that it's not just sin, but it's exceedingly sinful. Okay? Yeah, they may be on an equal plane one with another. Okay? But they're not just sins. They're transgressions of the law of God. And they're breaking God's heart. And they grieve Him. And we need to work to stay away from them. So, you know, we find that she's a seeker of God in her life. We find that she put aside even her ambitions, put aside her concern for earthly things to seek and to know who God was. So guess what? She still went out and she worshipped on the Sabbath day. Look in verse 13 with me. I know we've already read them, but let's read them again. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside. Watch this, where prayer was wont to be made. That word wont, W-O-N-T, is the same word as where it was known. It was known throughout the community, it was known throughout the area, that prayer was to be made down by the riverside. Okay? So, even though it was on the Sabbath day, guess what? It was the Sabbath, she went down there and she prayed. So, she went and she worshipped on the Sabbath. Even though she was far from home, young people, listen to this part. You know, you get up underneath the rules and the obligations of your mom and your dad who's dragged you to church for all these years, and you get out there in your own life, in your own time, in your own days. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I hope you go to church because it's time to go to church. All right? She's far from home, but guess what happens? She's down there going to church. She's down there having worship. She's down there praying. Look in verse 14. It says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. She wasn't a local broad. She wasn't a local woman. She was from somewhere else. She's a different race probably altogether. And where was she? She went to church on the Sabbath day. Or the equivalent at that time. Also, guys, it was against the law. One could even say it was against the social norm. So what are you doing on Sunday? We're going to go have some brunch? Well, we go to church on Sunday. Why? Because that's the way it is. Jesus Christ did that. It says, as the Bible says that when He come down to Capernaum, as His customs were, He went what? He went into the synagogue, went into the Sabbath. He was known to do that. It was part of His life, guys. It was part of Lydia's life. She's of noble character, guys. So, you know, it was against the social norms. It was against the law within the city. So she went outside of the city walls. And remember, worship's always associated with sacrifice. She could have used this excuse, but she didn't. She could have said, you know what? It's against the law where I am. I'm not here. I'm far away from home. Mom and Dad are way over there. They'll never know. And let me just open up shop. But she had more nobility in her character to do that. So she didn't use the excuse. She had noble character, guys. There's always a cost to travel outside the city. It could have been much more convenient to accept the world's worship and stay close. Or could have been much easier to open up shop, and especially on a day that's probably known for shopping times, and increase the money. But she paid the price of her character. Guys, D.L. Moody said that character is what a man does in the dark. Guys, it's behind closed doors, our private practices always become our public performance. Yeah. We need to remember that in our life. She was willing to do what was right, and therefore what happened? The Lord opened up her heart by the Word of God. He honored her sacrifice. Now, Jesus Christ said this in Luke 24, verses 44, and then in verse 45 is a supporting verse. It says, and He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. That's what happened that day. Here you have a noble character woman. You have a woman who put God first, who went down by the riverside, went outside of the city. Well, I don't know how far it was outside, but listen, it wasn't convenient. She went against the societal norm. She went against everything that was known in that area to do what? So that she could go worship God. And she paid a price. There was a cost that came with it. But you know what? There was a reward as well. So we see that her character was that which put the Lord first, put God first, to worship God, to go down there and pray, which brought about, point number two, brought about her conversion. it brought about her conversion. Let's reread a few verses here in Acts 16. We'll start back again in verse 12. It says, "And from thence to Philippi, which is a chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake on the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Guys, here we have in verse 14, what we find is the importance of winning souls one at a time. The importance of it. I mean, the Lord uses this lady Lydia, a seller of purple, to start a ministerial work here in Europe, to start this thing in Philippi. And again, Lydia, she's a woman I already mentioned of noble character. She's a housewife. She's a businesswoman. But it's down by a riverside that day that she became a sister in Christ and a daughter of God. Beloved, in Philippi, the Word of God opened up her heart and brought her salvation. Okay? Down by a riverside. Now, again, here's the argument. People say, well, hang on a second. She didn't know Jesus Christ, and you know, you hear this argument all the time from a lot of preachers that God doesn't hear any prayers at all from a lost person. The only prayer He ever hears is the prayer of salvation. That's what we've said. Now, I understand we're in transitional phases here, but we've seen other examples in Scripture where the Lord has honored the nobility, that He's honored the devout, that He's honored those that came and worshiped God in spirit and truth, seeking Him. Okay? Look in Acts chapter 8. We'll see this real quick. Acts chapter 8. Turn over there with me if you will. Acts in chapter 8. Let's start in verse 26. Now, Philip's just getting back from preaching, and he's probably wanting a little bit of a rest. But the Bible says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, and a Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Why did he come to Jerusalem? To worship. Now keep reading with me. Verse 28. "Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth." We know that's Isaiah 53, verse 33 says, "Now, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from him. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began to at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hindereth me to be baptized?" Now, if you got the wrong Bible, you're not going to have the next verse. Verse 37 says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized him." Now, here's the deal, guys. Acts chapter 8, this guy went to Jerusalem. This eunuch went to Jerusalem with a purpose, didn't he? What was the purpose? To worship. To worship who? Worship God. Somewhere along the line, he was either given a copy of Isaiah chapter 53, or he bought it with a great sum of money. Now, when he gets into the law and starts reading, he's coming to worship, and he learns that a eunuch can't even proselyte, can't come over to Judaism, because he was a eunuch of Candace the queen. I'm sure he probably left with great depression, yet he's sitting here reading Isaiah 53, And God sent a man, he sent Philip, a man of God, out there to witness to him, to preach unto him Jesus from Isaiah chapter 53. And he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. They both went down to the water to baptize him. Mind you, this is the first recorded Gentile we have saved in the New Testament. The eunuch that came into Jerusalem. What did he come there for? To worship. God sent a man to him. We see the same thing in Acts chapter 10 with the Italian. Another Gentile, Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And I'm not going to go into the whole story. You know how it goes. Peter's up on the rooftop. God visits him, tells him, you know, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, oh, hang on a second now. I've never eaten anything common. I hadn't done it, Lord. Not going to do that. And three times the Lord had to tell him, what I've cleansed, call thou not common. Now we're talking about food, but God was talking about a soul. So Peter finally, unwillingly, obeyed and went to Cornelius, shared the gospel with him, taught him Jesus Christ, and guess what? Cornelius got saved. The Bible says that God heard his prayers. A devout man who was praying to God always, capital G God. You got this eunuch who went to Jerusalem to worship and wanted to worship God. Now you have this lady down by the riverside who's worshiping and praying to God every Sabbath day. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord honored all three of their prayers. And he heard their prayers. And he sent someone in there to be a witness unto them so that they would know Jesus Christ as a Savior. One of them even went. He didn't want to go. Peter didn't want to go, but God used him and made him go anyway. Lydia is a woman who became a hostess to the saints. We see that in verse 15. She says, abide with me. This famous church, guys, at Philippi would start in the house of Lydia. It would start there. I mean, Philippi seemed to have more women saved than men. I'll tell you what, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippi, this church here in Philippi seemed to have more ladies in it, saved and born again, working for the Lord than it did men. I can't explain that. I don't think we even need to. I'm convinced all those prisoners got saved, and I'm convinced they, if and when they got out, they joined the church. And more than likely, whatever they were involved in before now started giving their money to the church rather than doing whatever else it did with it. Amen? Philippians chapter 4 and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Paul writes back to this church and he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So we find here that there's women, but only a couple men's names are necessarily mentioned here. Philippi is the only church that Paul does not rebuke. In his letters. In our world today, guys, women are portrayed in a positive manner as victims, or as vixens and villains. I mean, they're seen as being hard and untouchable with emotions. And the last thing that we see in the media today is a wonderful portrayal of a wholesome, modest housewife. People are bored with those news. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to watch a television show that has a wholesome woman on. But Lydia was a wholesome, sincere, dear, dear, precious woman. Peter says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price, he says. Today it's the hard, heartless woman adorned in the attire of a harlot, with an impenetrable veneer around her soul, it almost seems, that gets all the marketing today, that gets all the post and all the press, if you will. You know, it's becoming the image that girls are setting their attention upon is that hard and that tough woman. That's not the woman that God speaks of. Those type of women have always been around. Solomon said, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. That subtle of heart is like a snake. The Bible says that the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What's the simplicity that's in Christ? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we have a generation of young girls that are growing up, and they're seeing this hard, this tough, this vixen that they want to set their image upon, and they want to become. And when the Bible says no, the Bible says, look at Lydia, the seller of purple. Ladies, you want to grow up to be a wealthy woman? Hey, look at Lydia. You want to grow up to be a wonderful housekeeper? Look at Lydia. You want to grow up and become a place where the saints feel welcome, a daughter of God, a sister in Jesus Christ? Look at Lydia. Lydia is neither portrayed as something that is a vixen or a villain. Lydia has sought to give. Lydia didn't seek to give her body away as one of the devil's playpen.
Right.
Lydia is a woman that gave her heart and her home to the Lord Jesus Christ. Her character and her conversion make her something that I believe every woman, and for that matter, without, you know, being weird, even men should aspire to become.
Yeah.
We should have a humble mind and a humble heart and a humble soul to take on these characteristics of this precious woman, Lydia. I love preaching on Lydia. I'm going to get into the church and its foundations and the fruit of it next week. But all produced because this woman was willing. And this is what I want you to think about here. I want you to think about this, and I'm done this morning. I don't know for an absolute fact how Thyatira, the Church of Thyatira, is established. But again, just like I mentioned earlier, there's a slight chance, a slight possibility, that maybe it was a sweet letter that was sent from that house church right there in Philippi. A testimony of what has happened, sent back to some parents who were worshiping God, because Lydia learned it from someone. Worshiping God in a city filled with paganism, a city filled with money and monetary goals and pagan practices. And they got that letter and they says, man, that God that you've always talked to me about, I've met him. I know now the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what, and maybe that right there gave birth to some conversions in Thyatira. And a few chapters later, Paul starts sending out those preacher boys, sending them out. And they go over there to Pergamos, and they go to Thyatira, and they go to Sardis, and they go to these different, and they start planting these seven churches in Asia. Paul wanted to go to Asia in Acts 16, but God redirected him, sent him into Europe. And because of that, I believe those churches are planted in Asia Minor. We'll get back into Lydia next week and finish up. We'll see the fruit of the church in her home next week. But today we've seen her character and her conversion. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Pray you bless the rest of this day, this afternoon. Be with us in school this afternoon. Be with us in prayer meeting tonight. Lord, we give you honor, praise, and glory. Father, you know those that are in need right now, those that need help today, those that need consoling, those that need comfort. And I pray that you'd meet them exactly where they are, Father, and touch them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Pray that God was good to you to teach and preach in His Word today.